The fall of the Republic, the Roman Republic, 121 BC to 59 BC. Sulla's reforms, his dictatorship. Now, Sulla is going to literally restructure Rome with what we know as the Sullan Constitution in an attempt to keep the Senate's oligarchy in total control. Well, it's not going to work. It's only going to last for about 10 years, but so we're rebuilding it bit by bit. So let's look at his initial reforms from today. Although the war was over and Sulla was now in charge and peace was reestablished both at home and abroad. In the abroad campaigns in 82 BC, Marcus Philippus occupied Sardinia for Sulla's cause. In 81 BC, Spain was temporarily recovered. It will always be a problem. Another 82 BC, you have Commander Pompey, who took back Sicily for Sulla. And then 81 and 80 BC, Pompey also disposed of the Marian resistance in Africa. So the Marian resistance is totally gone. Now, the only failure in the abroad campaigns was Licinius Murena, who failed in his invasion of Pontus, which actually violated Sulla's treaty that he had made with Mithridates. So Murena was replaced and reprimanded and simply recalled to Rome. Now, Sulla's new peace would not last unless strong measures were taken to maintain it. The popular party, Marius, the equestrians, and the urban rabble, or the urban plebeians, if you will, simply could not be allowed to dominate the Roman state again. They also had to bring peace to Italy. In addition, it was necessary to see to it that Rome's urban poor didn't try to run the government again. So you're going to have to reorganize the magistrates so that another Marius wouldn't be able to arise. And then you're also going to have to reorganize the provincial commands so that no more generals like himself would return from overseas and impose their will on the Roman state. So he basically looked at what had been successful for him in dealing with the state and then tries to make measures that will counteract those while he's still dictator. Okay? So in the late autumn of 82 BC, Sulla sent word to the Senate that an extraordinary magistracy was needed to reconstruct the state of Rome. Sulla added, of course, that he was just the man to handle the task. Valerius Flaccus, the Principe Senatus, was appointed inter rex to preside during the interim caused by the loss of both consuls. Flaccus, in turn, managed to have the Centurion Assembly pass what was known as the Valerian Law. This simply confirmed Sulla's previous arrangements that had been made before he left to go deal with Mithridates. Sulla was then appointed dictator without a term. Now remember, historically, the term for dictator was no more than 6 months. And it, of course, could be renewed. But they didn't put a time limit on this at this point. They also authorized him to take whatever steps were necessary to reform Rome. He could even issue laws without veto or without appeal. So this is the most extreme dictatorship that Rome had ever put in place, and quite frankly created a classic dictatorship that you would see in more modern times. And of course, the dictatorship was to be the medium for Sulla's work, which is going to be bloody and unpopular, and which is one of the reasons why it simply won't last. But this was not the old Republic dictatorship, which had been abandoned since the end of the wars with Hannibal. That, of course, it had authorization by the people. But this one eliminates the right of appeal. So if you are accused by the dictator of a crime, you can't appeal it. You're stuck. There was also no termination date, so this is really alien to the Romans. And to some extent, they tried to give it historical support because it dated back to the ancient Roman Decemvirate, which drew up Rome's laws known as the 12 Tablets in the 5th century B.C., rather than to the constantly more restricted dictatorship of the 3rd century B.C. So they went back as far as they could in their history to find this group of 12 men who had set everything up. So it's an attempt, you know, it's a stretch, so to speak. There were Roman precedents for each of the features of Sulla's new dictatorship, but not for the whole dictatorship. However, since the Tiberius Gracchus and his Roman constitution had been gradually discarded, especially by the popular party of Marius, it was easy for Sulla to kind of come into this vacuum and then put his own thing in. I mean, one of the problems we had with the Gracchi is they had a good idea. They were trying to do what appeared to be good, but they had to use some kind of unusual methods to circumvent the Senate. That, of course, then comes back to aid Sulla when he needs to circumvent the constitutions that the Romans had at this particular time. So it's almost like the period of good that came out of the Gracchan time period is a Pyrrhic victory. It ends up costing him more than it ends up being worth. And of course, in order to start this process, this is just a discussion of his dictatorship. First thing he's going to have to do is he's going to have to purge a lot of his opponents. So the next time we're here, we'll be looking at his proscription lists and the methods that were used and why they used it. Now, the sources for this, that is the fall of the Roman Republic, what I'm talking about here, the History of the Romans, Heckelheim and Yao, the Chronicle of the Roman Republic by Matusak, which is really consul after consul, it's each of the different consuls' reigns and what they did, and the History of the Romans by Born. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, which of course can be sent as USBs. You don't have to have a CD anymore. Probably going to change that, but there are still some people that use those. And thank you very much.